Well, we get things underway this hour by talking about Sunday's big game, Super Bowl 54, the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers. And to talk about it, a guy who certainly has a vested interest as a former Kansas City Chief, New York Jet, and Maine Black Bear as well, Mike DeVito joins us. Mike, how are you this afternoon?
Rich, I'm doing great, man. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Well, we're fired up for the Super Bowl here. Your enthusiasm about this game is catching, Mike.
I know. Well, it's funny. I don't know how many Chiefs fans are up here, but I think people are getting a little sick of me because I got my Chiefs gear out every time I leave the house. I'm really excited about this one. You know, Rich, the one thing that I really love about this team and this team being in the Super Bowl is the fan base that supports it. I mean, when I went out to Kansas City, it was just so amazing to be around Kansas City Chiefs fans. And if you talk to people, they'll tell you, and you know this, going, you know, traveling with UMaine, going to Nebraska and Boston College and seeing all these Division I schools and their fan bases, right? And you really have the tailgating and the pep rallies, and the fan base is really behind the team. And that was what it was like out in Kansas City, very much like a college fan base in the sense that they love the Chiefs. And so I'm really happy for them because this is a fan base that, if they're 2-14, that Arrowhead is going to be sold out. They don't care what the record is. They're going to be there to cheer on their team. And so I'm really excited for Kansas City and their ability to finally be in this big game after 50-some-odd years.
Well, and I like the way you describe it, too, because it does feel like the fans adopt the players more like college fans, almost like you're part of their family.
It really is true, and nothing against when I was in New York. But, you know, with the Jets, you know, you're in New York City and you're really a small fish in a big pond, even being a football player, you know, a pro athlete. It wasn't that way in Kansas City. You know, the Jets have diehard fans, but Kansas City Chiefs fans are really just, I mean, you just feel it. They're there for you. And so you're right. I mean, it's so exciting for them. And one thing that I lament a little bit is, I would have loved to have a home playoff game at Arrowhead. Arrowhead Stadium is just one of the most unique and fun experiences in the NFL. And, you know, I had a chance to see that during the regular season, but all the playoff games that I played in out there in KC were on the road. You know, in the year after I retire, they start winning the AFC West and not going 4 years in a row and having the home playoff game. So, I watched that on TV, you know, and see that AFC Championship game at home at Arrowhead. I can only imagine what that was like. So, again, excited for them and kind of disappointed that I don't get to be a part of it, you know.
I'm old enough to remember Len Dawson and Hank Stram and watching that game 50 years ago, but it's great for this new generation of Chiefs fans to have this opportunity.
Yeah, it really is. And it's funny, this new generation remembers those games as well. I mean, you have we had Eric Stonestreet on the podcast, the actor from Modern Family. You know, he's been watching the game for however, you know, grew up watching Kansas City. And, I mean, you have these people that have been diehard fans since they were, you know, 2, 3, 4 years old, whenever they can be a fan of a team. And then they had that ability to do that. I mean, and it's never wavered. Even over the 50 years of drought, these fans have never wavered, every year come out and supported this team. And so really, you know, outside of Andy Reid, my love for Andy Reid and want him to win it, I'm also, you know, almost as excited for this fan base to win it as well.
We're talking with Mike DeVito here on Downtown. Let's talk about the game and start with this Kansas City offense, which, and we saw it in the playoffs, those of us who don't see them that much during the regular season, that offense I think is as dangerous as anybody in the National Football League.
Yeah, Bill O'Brien, after the divisional game that the Texans head coach said something along the lines of no lead is safe against the Chiefs, right? So the Chiefs came back from a 24-0 deficit to win that game. Now, any team playing in the divisional round of the playoffs, I mean, outside of the one outlier with New England coming back in the Super Bowl and beating Atlanta from that huge deficit, I mean, you just don't see that in the playoffs. You know, a 10-point lead in the playoffs is usually enough to lock it down. It's really hard to come back from that kind of deficit. But when you watch this offense, I mean, they can put up 24 points in 3 minutes because you just have so many incredible athletes on that offense, combined with, you know, Patrick Mahomes, who is a once-in-a-lifetime talent, right? I mean, if he continues this path, we're going to be talking about him, you know, in the same conversation with the Bradys and the Mannings and the Roethlisbergers. I mean, he's going to be one of those legendary guys. So you combine that with the talent and Andy Reid's offense, which is incredibly complex. And however he does it, he just finds a way to isolate his playmakers, get them in space, and allow them to do what they do. And so when you take those three things together, you know, a number of Pro Bowl receivers and tight ends and running backs with, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid's offense, it's just, it's potent and it's fun to watch.
And San Francisco's offense, tough. I don't know if they're as explosive as Kansas City, but they also throw a lot of eye candy at you. And you know, as a defensive guy, you've got to focus on the task at hand and not be distracted.
I love the way they won the game last week or 2 weeks ago against Green Bay in the NFC Championship game. I mean, they threw the ball 8 times, I believe, and just ran it. And against a team like Green Bay, where you're thinking, he's got Aaron Rodgers, he's going to be chucking the ball. You figure you got to have a pass, you know, a more pass-heavy game plan because we're going to have to keep up with them. They do not care. They're going to line up and run the football. And they run traps and whams and, you know, power plays. I mean, they do inside, outside. They have different guys that do different things. And so it's certainly going to be a challenge for KC. You saw Kansas City did a good job stopping the Titans in the championship game, stopping that run with Derrick Henry and how well they were doing Tennessee going into that game. But Tennessee also bailed on the run because Kansas City got up. I don't see San Francisco doing that. I see them sticking to the run no matter what. And so KC's front 7, 8, those guys in the box, they're going to have to hunker down and play the run for 4 quarters. And they're going to have to be technically sound because not only is this a solid offensive line, a solid offensive system, they run some weird stuff that's hard to play as a defensive line, especially as a defensive lineman, to react to the traps and whams and all that stuff. And if you miss those, like if you're a 3 technique and you get trapped, you know, Rich, you've seen that play a million times. That plays out the gate, right? Because now you have a guard right up on a linebacker and a running back downhill 100 miles an hour. So Kansas City's going to have to do that. They're going to have to play technique sound football up front and handle, like you said, a multiple offense that throws a lot of different stuff at you, especially in the run game.
We love those Black Bear connections, too, and a defensive coordinator, former Maine Black Bear assistant, Steve Spagnuolo. Since he got healthy on that D, they've cranked it up. I think it's, I saw today, over the last 8 games, they're only giving up 93.5 rushing yards per game.
They really have turned it around, and it's funny. You talk to the players out there, some of my buddies that are still out there, and they'll talk about how contagious his personality is. And I had an opportunity to go down and do the Chiefs' pregame chapel service when they came in to play New England. So I went down to their hotel in Rhode Island and gave a chapel service, and Spags was there. And so I got a chance to meet him. It was the first time I got a chance to meet him, and I talked to him about our main connections and everything. And I could feel it just there talking to him for the quick, you know, 2 minutes that I got a chance to chop it up with him. Just the energy and excitement that he brings. And I think this was a great move by Brett Veach and Andy Reid to bring in a coordinator whose style of defense really fits the roster that they had. I think one of the challenges that Kansas City has had over the past couple of years on defense is their roster changed, but they didn't change the type of defense. So Bob Sutton is a Rex Ryan guy, and he's going to run that hybrid 3-4, 4-3 that works well when you have bigger linebackers. You know, you have your Haloti Ngata's, your Tony Siragusa's, your big nose tackles, and then you're doing stuff with your secondary to create pressure. You got bigger defensive linemen. Kansas City changed to a more 4-3 style roster through the draft and through picking up guys, but the defense didn't change. But this defense that Spags brings, along with the emotion and the stuff that he brings to the table, really fits the personnel that they have. And you've seen that. I mean, these guys get off the football in this 4-3 defense, and they wreak havoc. And they got some guys up front that are hard to stop.
So, Mike, who are a couple of Chiefs who've got to play well to get a victory on Sunday?
I'm looking at Chris Jones. Chris Jones, the three-tech inside defensive lineman, Pro Bowl player, and he was key to stopping the Titans' run game. And I remember there was some doubt going into the game if he was even going to be able to play. He had a calf issue, and they were saying, we don't even know if Chris Jones is going to be up for this game. And then I think that would have been devastating, because when you lose that inside presence against a good run game, it's a problem. But with Chris Jones in the lineup, if he can get off the football like he does, reestablish the line of scrimmage, and slow things down the way he did against the Titans, I think that's a huge part of Kansas City's defensive success. Stopping the run, obviously, and it's going to start with Chris Jones up front. So I know that's not the sexy pick, but that's where I'm looking at to see what Chris Jones does. Can the 49ers contain him? And if not, I see things going really well for Kansas City on defense against the run game in particular.
I think the over-under is around 52 points. Do you see it being a high-scoring game?
You know, I thought last Super Bowl was going to be a high-scoring game. I don't know. These games sometimes play out weird, because when you talk about the Rams and the Patriots last year, I was like, this is going to be a high-scoring game. So I think so. That's what I would imagine. You have very explosive offenses, and these teams haven't seen each other. And sometimes that takes a little bit of adjustment on defense to get used to the personnel and the team that you're playing. So I think so. I would imagine it would be high scoring, but it's a Super Bowl. Guys are going to be amped up and fired up, so you never know how it's going to play out totally, obviously. But yeah, that's what I would predict as well, a higher scoring game.
When it's a big game like this, and there's so much hype for the Super Bowl, and you know the whole world is out there watching, but when it's a big game, Super Bowl or a playoff game, how far into that game do you get, or is it even before that when you realize as a player, yeah, it's just another football game, the stakes don't mean any more or less than any other game, you're out there to win?
Yeah, it's interesting. That's a great question. I felt it the whole way through. I obviously never played in the Super Bowl, but I played in back-to-back AFC Championship games, and I played in 9 playoff games in my career, which was a real blessing, because most, you know, I've known guys that played 10, 15 years that didn't even get to sniff the playoffs. So it's definitely a different game, and I felt the pressure ratchet up the entire game. I mean, especially those AFC Championship games where you're one game away from making it to the Super Bowl. The whole time you're just dialed in and focused in a way that during the regular season you're dialed in and focused, but it's different. There's a heightened sense of what's on the line. And obviously in this game, you know, nobody remembers who's second place, right? I mean,
right.
The winner of this is goes down in history as one of the greatest teams ever. So I would imagine that there's going to be a heightened sense of, hey, let's go, let's get this done. But the one thing I like about Kansas City is their ability to stay poised through the ups and downs, right? So you saw the 24-point deficit against the Texans, and it's like you look at the sidelines, and it really starts with Pat Mahomes, the way he leads that team. When the quarterback is saying, hey, we're good, we got this, you know, don't worry about it, we're going to go out there and score. And you see that he's not flustered at all. That has a ripple effect, you know, throughout the sidelines, and that really helps. And so as much as it is a big game, it's an emotional game, and obviously everything's going out there because this is it, I see Kansas City having that little bit of an edge with the fact that they're poised through a lot of situations, and even if they were to get down, I can see them doing what New England did against the Falcons was, even if they're down 21 points, with the playmakers they have and their ability to handle the adversity, coming back and getting back in the game and winning a game. So I hopefully that doesn't happen. I don't want that to happen. But that's what's special about this team, is they can overcome those kind of deficits.
And Mike DeVito with us on Downtown. You mentioned your podcast, the 3-Point Stance podcast, has been going just great. You guys get tremendous guests on that show, and you are such a good interviewer. And I say interviewer, and it's not that. And you know, it's kind of what we try to do here on this show. They're conversations that you have, and they're always interesting, informative, and you really get people to open up.
You know, I really appreciate that, Rich, because we model our show after your show. One of the motivations going into starting that was me listening to your show and seeing the way you kind of reached out outside of just sports, right? So you definitely, sports is the centerpiece but we're going to touch these other things, these things in society, these things in art and culture and all that stuff. And I really enjoy that. And the intersection of that with sports is so much fun because there's so much more to the game. And so, you know, during the regular season, it became more focused on the X's and O's and the week-to-week stuff because, you know, you're in the season and that's what's hot. And that's what you're, you know, you're trying to talk about. And I'm kind of, but I'm also excited for this off season now to get back into some of those more, you know, outside the line topics. And so, yeah, thank you, Rich. It's been a lot of fun, and we've modeled a lot of it after what you've done. And you obviously set a very high bar, so I really appreciate that. That means a lot.
Well, subscribe to the 3-Point Stance podcast. Mike and Aaron and Sterling do a great job on that. And, Mike, we appreciate so much you making time, as always, for us this afternoon and for you. I have no vested interest, but because of you, I'll be pulling for the Chiefs on Sunday.
Rich, I appreciate that, brother. It's funny. This is the first time a team that I've rooted for has made it this far. Right? So high school, college, NFL, you know, I grew up a Jets fan, finished with the Chiefs, so I've been a Chiefs fan. You know, in high school and college, my team's never made it all the way. Like literally 20 years of football, this is the first time that my team has made it to the big game. And so I don't even know what to do. I've been leaning on you guys, my fellow Patriots fans who are here every other year, to figure out how to handle this game and give me some advice. But yeah, I appreciate that, Rich. I hope they pull this one off.
Well, good luck and enjoy the game on Sunday, Mike, and we'll catch you again sometime soon.
Excellent. Thank you for having me on, Rich. I appreciate it.